Welcome to the Stinger Podcast, golf's number one podcast. Hooray! That's right. I'm Chuck Stevenson, one of golf's foremost experts in golf. Mark, what's your name?
That's fantastic. I'm Mark Poste, and I'm just really happy to be here.
You're not gonna believe this. That intro was not scripted.
Got me excited though.
Yeah, no, what? Yeah, no. There's a lot of somewhat exciting stuff going on in golf. We're here to somewhat excitedly describe it and discuss it.
I mean, there's actually, it's okay. It's actually okay right now.
Some pretty solid stuff coming. We got CJ Cup. It's just started. We're filming. We're recording this on a Thursday. We're never, by the way, you got to pay us to do a film podcast, because I can't do it in my boxers if we're filming it. So forget it.
That'll be for like the VIP.
Right, exactly. You got to pay for that.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, we got Shriners recap. We got a new sponsor this week. Keep eating the Hostess cupcakes. We still love Hostess, but we'll get to that later. I'm excited. It's one of my wife's favorite restaurants. I cheered her up one time by getting ribs from this place. So she really likes it. So this is exciting. yes. And we'll talk golf. because I've had a rough night just because my wife is a crazy Dodgers fan and they just got their ass kicked. So.
Yeah. It was a rough night for old Dodger Blue.
Exactly. So for you meatheads that are like, oh, it'd be great if my wife is a sports fan. Careful what you wish for. I've heard so many F-bombs tonight. I mean, she cares. She cares too much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you and I grew up Cleveland fans. And so,
right. Yeah.
You know, there's a natural expectation going in of disappointment. So you go in with fairly low expectations.
Almost none.
Yeah, no, really, yeah. And then, you know, I think the expectations game is a very real thing.
Oh, yeah, you need...
Yeah, if you keep those expectations low.
No, that is really a thing. That also is my other mantra, is if you don't try, you can't fail. So
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. But although I don't think my expectations are ever lower than the 2007 finals Cavs Spurs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
That was as low as it got.
Yeah, we knew going in that was not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Title that year was making it to the finals.
Exactly. And by the way, when the Cavs made the finals, Mark and I were really drunk at his brother's wedding.
Oh, that was a top five moment. So
that
far
was great.
Life. Yeah,
we're at Beverly Hills Country Club and a bunch of drunk Ohio people basically piled on each other at the bar at the Beverly Hills Country Club.
I love during the reception, they're giving score updates.
Oh, right.
The DJ. So I guess Cavs are up.
Yeah.
248.
I'm so mad at myself that on my best man toast, I didn't do an update. And by the way, 36-23, Gibson's got 12.
It's the booby game. It was the booby game.
That was the booby Gibson game. But we digress. But I could digress in that all day. CJ Cup. Mark's going on. We got one round in the books. Another week in Las Vegas.
Yeah, how many guys are hurting by this point? That's a week and a half so far.
Oh my God. Who do you think partied the most? Shane Lowry?
I can see why you would go there.
That's a good one.
I think it would have to be somebody who does not have any expectation that they would.
Right.
Well, first of all, it's going to be somebody who I think is playing both events.
Yes.
That's the first thing. And second, it has to be somebody who doesn't have a very real expectation of winning the event. And the third thing I'd say is it has to have happened between last weekend and now, because this is a no-cut event.
It is a no-cut event. Yeah.
So I not only might...
That sigh relief you heard was Jordan Spieth.
It's right. Well, he even mentioned earlier this week, essentially, that he made some sort of reference that spending that time in Vegas, you know, has its impact.
Right.
So, anyway,
there you go. I just realized I had the dryer going the whole time.
Oh, I was. That sounds like a cell phone. It really does.
Well, that was the end of the dryer. So just so you know, everybody, I now podcast. I used to podcast in my closet in our bedroom, but I did the garage once, and I really like it. Microphone's on top of the washer. The laptop's on top of the dryer. I call it my studio.
Oh, it's perfect. Our garage currently is we've had mold remediation for the past 2 weeks, so we don't have any. We haven't had any hot water for 2 weeks.
Oh, Jesus.
Right, right. So it means I smell. But most of the garage is the net that I've put up, and I also got a new little like artificial putting green for inside there. So most of the garage is already spoken for. I will say, yeah.
Tell you, we're spending like crazy. I just bought a new car for my wife. You're buying a house? What the hell?
I know. What the hell? I know.
Jesus.
I believe they're going to be using these podcasts as evidence against us at some point in the
inevitable
future legal proceedings. So
exactly. Yeah. So wait. So Tyrell Hatton, the is 10th in the world. He won last week. BMW Championship. He's winning again. What's going on?
This was not a jump that I ever saw coming.
Yeah.
I mean, has anybody? Look, guys have had really good 12-month periods. Mm-hmm. When we're looking at the last 12 months, I mean, you know, your Brendan Todd's, Dustin Johnson's, you know, guys like that. But Colin Morikawa, right?
Right.
But I mean, Tyrrell Hatton's got to have maybe one of the like most underrated great seasons, right?
He's 10th in the world, and that's a tough top 10 to crack, my friend.
Plus, he won at Bay Hill, which is not easy. But what's amazing to me is that he's doing this and he hasn't changed at all.
Yeah, he's a nut job.
He threw a club today. He shot 7 under and threw a club today.
What makes his tantrums not as annoying as other people's? Because I don't get annoyed by. I feel like it's just there's no petulant to it. It's just self-loathing.
I think that's really what you've hit on it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not. One of the things that look, let's compare this for a second to Bryson.
Right.
Right.
Oh, Christ.
The petulance that he's had has been. Like external, he's focusing on everyone else, right?
Yep, that's a great point.
I mean, Tyrrell, you know, he'll hit a ridiculous shot. He'll cuss himself out.
Yes.
He'll throw a club and he'll be mad at himself, but then he'll never take it out on the gallery. He'll never take it out on other players. He's just insane.
Or his caddy. He never takes it out.
Or his caddy. He's just insane. I mean, that's just who he is. Plus it's sincere.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, I think we're willing to put up with a lot of things from people if we know that's who they are.
Right.
You know, with Bryson, I mean, the petulance doesn't come off right. It doesn't come off well. It's annoying. It's frustrating. But with Hatton, you know, that sort of petulance, you just sort of say, oh, well, you know what? That's just him. He's just crazy. And I love him. Right.
Yeah, no, he's one of my favorite guys to watch, and Bryson might be my least favorite.
Well, I was thinking about Tyrrell's sort of rise this year, and I was trying to think. It's really hard to be supremely good, to be extraordinarily successful on tour, and to have that sort of combustible temper.
Right.
There aren't a lot of guys that have pulled that off. I mean, I was, you know, trying to think of guy, even, man, it's hard to even think of a lot of major winners that have been.
Well,
able
that's
to
always
that.
Been the thing with Rom, you right. know, that's everyone says held him back because
he's made a lot of strides on that.
Oh, yeah. No, I
mean, he'll still go nuclear, but his nuclear is no longer nearly as nuclear as it used to be.
And it's not as self, like, he can come back from it. He used to be once he went nuclear, he was gone. But no, John Rom is awesome.
I mean, I was trying to think. I mean, I the only guys I could think of that had really bad tempers would be maybe a guy like Weisskopf. Weisskopf had a bad temper back in the day.
Yes.
Like a guy like, I mean, but otherwise, you got to go really far back. I mean, like a Julius Burrows or a Tommy Bolt, like guys who had really bad tempers. I mean, you know, they're competitive guys. I mean, Tiger was competitive, and you know he. You know, he'd drop an F-bomb. But it's not like this, right?
Yeah, no, this is just.
I mean, yeah.
But it's fascinating. It's really
it is fascinating.
It's fun to watch. So here's my question. I think this is a tricky question. Where do you see his career going? Because talent wise, I don't think he's Rory talent, but he's uber talented. Like, don't you? I mean, he's not like the 30th most talented golfer in the world. I mean,
no,
he's talented as hell.
Yeah. The first guy that jumped in my head, as a career comp, and they have different games, but I'm wondering if their success is going to be similar, was Luke Donald.
Interesting. Yeah, that is very different games. Yeah.
I mean, very different games, but you know, Luke Donald spent actually quite a long time as number one in the world.
Yeah. He actually made the cut last week.
Yeah. And without winning a ton of big time events,
no, never won a major.
But he won good non-major events. You know, I sort of feel like he might have sort of a Luke Donald type-ish career arc.
Well, that'd be pretty good because Luke
that would
was
be great. He should be very happy with that.
Luke was number one for a short time. They God, Luke could split a fairway like nobody's business.
He could putt too. I mean, he's one of the best putters of the last 20 years. I mean,
and a good artist.
I mean, and really the which I'd love to hear more about. You took me by surprise there. But you know, the underlying point here is that I don't think either one of us are sitting here saying that this is the beginning of the Hatton era, or that
no
saying that, you know, that he's going to be a genuine contender in majors. I mean, could he win a major? Absolutely. But, you know, let me tell you this. At any point in the next 5 years, do you see yourself on this podcast picking Hatton on major week? You know?
And I like Hatton, but you don't want to make that pick.
Or picking him, to be frank, on any tournament. I mean, it's not really a guy that sort of jumps off the page when you're thinking of, but again, right. I mean, that's why this sort of run he's had in 2020 has been so impressive. It does feel like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, he looks great. But
he's going low too. He's not just playing well, he's going low.
No, he's going, because this is a good field, everybody.
Yes.
We got Rory, Brooks, Wolf, Morikawa. Oh, by the way, just to start out, Sungjae opened 78 and Wolf opened 80. What?
Yeah, the? Wolf is currently working on two on a streak of runner-ups that I don't believe is going to continue this week.
Yeah. Is that our partier?
Oh, Wolf?
Yeah. He shot an 80. He's probably one of the he could be one of the 10 best golfers in the world, and he just shot on a pretty decent course, actually. It was actually played really well. The scores yesterday were perfect. It's about half over and half under and pretty great. But, you know, maybe Vegas. I don't know. I don't want to speculate.
This is not – well, let's finish the Wolf point, and then we'll talk about a little bit about Shadow Creek here. Okay. You know, it's funny. I may be guilty of just judging him on an interview that I on a post round interview, basically. But I kind of always got the sense from Wolf that he was a little bit more nerdy.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
You know what I mean? Although, having said that, sometimes those are the guys that you would point to at times like this, right? You know, who maybe weren't super social in high school, and now, you know, he's a millionaire.
Right, exactly.
You know, he's got 2 weeks in Vegas here. And basically, he can finish last this week and still count these 2 weeks as a success.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to the Shriners.
Yeah. But... So, talking about the course.
Talk about it.
This is a really, really, really fascinating course.
I really like it.
Visually, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'd put it at a top 20 course in the country visually. Yeah. You know, it's up there with let me just say it's not Augusta Pine Valley territory, but it's up there with the elite playground
second tier
courses. Yeah. Although not far behind, right? Because I don't know how much you know about the development of the course itself.
I know nothing.
So,
you knew the answer to that question. I don't know what you know about the film or Shadow Creek, Jack. I don't.
So, it was originally built by Steve Wynn, and he built it for himself.
Oh, boy.
Right? I mean, this was meant to be his personal golf course, and basically he... contracted with Tom Fazio, and he basically threw out the checkbook. He said, you know, do whatever. And it's funny because Tom Fazio did an interview once, and the question that he got was, you know, hey, you know, what do you think you could do if you were given attractive land and, you know, basically no limit on how much money? You know, what do you think you could create? And his answer was, I've already done it. It's Shadow Creek. And so it was redesigned in 2009. It was in between. It was actually the site of Tiger's Tiger Jam. So there's some like long ago history with some of these players. And I believe Tiger holds the course record prior to the renovation. He shot 60 here.
Jesus.
One of the really interesting things about how this place was designed was Steve Wynn wanted sort of supreme privacy, basically, right? Okay. And he wanted the course to be a place where if you're a celebrity or if you're somebody high profile, you knew that you could come play there and you would not be bothered by anybody. And so one of the things you'll notice as you watch this week is that you cannot see any other hole.
Interesting.
You can, I mean, every hole is its own sort of world, right? So, you can't look over to the other fairway and see. The whole idea was supposed to, and to be frank, I've heard, the rumor has been it was done specifically for Michael Jordan, so that if Jordan came to play, that nobody would see him on another fairway, right? And the list of guys who play here regularly is pretty incredible. Ricky had an interesting story. I don't know. Interesting is probably giving it too much credit, but he was giving a bit of an anecdote that, you know, he was at Shadow Creek, I think maybe earlier this year or something like that. And he said, you know, we saw literally one other group the entire time. And it was a group in front of us that let us play through. And so we get up there and it's Doc Rivers. And Doc comes over, he goes, "Oh my God, you have no idea how big of a fan I am of you." And Ricky's like, "Here's this guy who's way bigger and way more athletic than me, saying he's a fan of me." And I'm like, "Dude, I'm a fan of you. Come on now." Right. And so
look at Ricky, the humility, impressive.
Absolutely. Right. Supposedly, George H.W. Bush had a locker here that he held a fishing pole in. And so if he went out,
I thought you were going to say the nuclear.
I would not be surprised if that has happened out on this course.
We got to.
Right, exactly. I've heard Stallone plays out here a lot. Clooney plays out here a lot. These sorts of guys tend to frequent this place. But, so this is going to be a one-off.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think you're going to see – this isn't the start. I mean, for as much as we may like watching this course and for as good of a course this is going to be from a competitive standpoint, and I agree with you, the scores definitely showed – because it is not an easy course.
No, it's not. It was bearing guys. But then on the other hand, there's guys that were shooting low. It was actually a perfect day.
Right.
Like, it was refreshing. If you shot well, you got your 66. Shot bad, you got a 76. It was refreshing.
Right.
US Open, you taking notes?
This would be a cool US Open course, if not for the fact that, I mean, it's not though a course that's designed for this, right? Because, you know, it doesn't lend itself to galleries. It's not, because it never was meant to be that, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, when the pandemic ends, I don't think you're going to see Shadow Creek start.
No, it's fun
hosting events. But what I will say is that
it's a backup anyway, because it's supposed to be in Korea. So,
right. I mean, you should enjoy the place though while we got it, because it's a really cool place to watch.
Yeah.
And to be frank, it's been a place that for a while has been on my like bucket list of places to play. Right. I'd love to play Shadow Creek.
Yes. Well, that's a very good, I didn't know any of that, but I don't know anything. I do know that, Xander's one back. Rom's two back.
Xander, by the way, is a specialist in these no-cut events.
Oh, that's true. Well, he's looked pretty good. I mean, that it'd be hard to bet against him right now.
That's not a criticism, by the way. It's just it's just an odd statistical anomaly.
No. By the way, the people that say the limited field event, that somehow winning the Sanderson, no offense, Sergio, but that somehow winning the Sanderson Farms is as 130 golfers starting instead of like the Tour Championship with the 30 best golfers in the world. Like somehow like that's a more like, you know, I know I understand this country abolished logic 4 years ago. So logic is not allowed anymore, but I'm going to cling on to it. I'm going to be the underground logician. And I'm going to say that when you beat a lot of good golfers, that's more impressive. Am I crazy?
No, my guess would be that if you got Sergio in an extraordinarily honest moment, if you told him that this far into his career, he'd be playing the Sanderson, he probably would.
Yes.
I mean,
I mean, is it more impressive to beat Michigan in basketball or to win four games in the Patriot League tournament? Of course, the answer is four games in the Patriot League tournament.
Exactly.
Because exactly. We come to play.
That's not really meant to be a knock on the Sanderson, but the Sanderson knows what it is, right?
Yeah, it's got a trophy. It's a freaking chicken. It's no problem. We haven't fun. It's a good way to spend 2 hours on a Sunday.
It's a tour event.
Yeah, what the hell?
And criticizing it. It's an event that gives the winner a spot in the Masters. I mean, that's really sort of all they're looking for.
And he didn't even need it. What a selfish jerk.
I know. What a jerk, huh?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
That's been on my mind for a little bit. Have you heard about that thing he did with his putting?
No, I didn't. You keep asking me stuff I don't know. I tell you what, you're about to get some history questions. I'm telling you what. My newest great courses I'm listening to is 1215, the year that changed history.
I can assure you that any question you ask me about 1215,
I school you. Yeah. So what about the putting and Sergio?
So, you know, apparently, I mean, he says he's been playing around with this for a while, and I don't know if I believe him, but I guess at least the last round of the Sanderson, he hit every putt with his eyes closed.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, bleep, he's been good. I mean, do you remember and by the way, sorry that we had to delay in the podcast. We had a lot of crap, but we'll get him regular anyway. It was a bunch of tournaments nobody cared about. Except for the LPGA, we'll get to that. PGA Championship. Yeah, I mean, I think the last podcast we were like, Sergio, he's done. And like, he's bleeped us ever since.
Yeah. I will say this. I mean, this is not generally a comment you should make about somebody the week after they win an event. But I'll be honest, when I hear that the last day he putted with his eyes closed, that makes me more concerned about Sergio rather than less.
Whoa.
Because you don't, I mean, that's like the analogy I kept thinking about was, you know, that Flex Seal commercial that's always on, that, you know, he's, you know, showing all the different ways you can use Flex Seal.
Yeah.
One of which is he Flex Seals the bottom of a boat. Right.
Right. Yeah.
He's like, hey, let's go boating. Right. And so he like, you know, starts to row away. And the whole idea is supposed to be that, you know, it's, you know, it can help with all these things. But you and I both know that if you're relying on Flex Seal for this massive hole in the bottom of your boat,
you're really stupid.
Right. You are going to sink. Right.
That's amazing.
You know? And so like my thought is that he's using Flex Seal right now. And it's not going to work sort of long term. But, you know, everything about Sergio, though, anymore, there's no need to be long term. His career is settled. I will say this, though. The one big thing about winning the Sanderson is it brings him back into play potentially for the Ryder Cup, right?
Yeah, the way the European team's going, yeah, it sure does. Because they're going to need dudes.
They're going to need dudes.
Yeah, they are running low on dudes. There's a Hovland coming in and a whole lot of coming out, I think. Yeah. And by the way, if you have a boat, there's only one thing that fixes everything. It's called duct tape. So Flex Seal's not going to – Flex Seal's not
going to – The 70s Flex Seal, right?
Right, yeah. That's not going to – Flex Seal ain't going to do nothing.
But, look, if we had recorded this podcast on Wednesday, let's say, I'm a big prior course history guy, like somebody who's played well. For example, Martin Laird has an incredible history at TPC Summerlin.
There you go.
But since there's no history for anybody at Shadow Creek, I probably would have just taken a guy like Jon Rahm. Right. You're just like, yeah, well, seriously. Go Rahm, I guess. I'll, you know,
Yeah, it's not a bad pick.
Right, but he went out and he validated everybody who would have said that today.
Exactly. So now it's not a good pick.
Right.
Well, I'll pick Oosthuizen because he shot a 70, so he's not like crazy, but I think.
Let's talk a couple guys individually.
Okay.
Let's talk Rory.
Yeah.
So looking at the numbers today, so it was interesting. I mean, Rory has, I won't say, Rory's been maybe needling Bryson a little.
Right.
I don't think it's, here's the thing about Rory. I don't think any of that is ever ill-natured. I think he's just honest to a fault.
Right.
And
I don't think anyone has, I don't think anyone on the tour likes Bryson. I'm just going
to
say it.
No, I don't. Boy, did you hear what Fitzpatrick had to say about him?
No, what? Oh my God. I'm finding, I like this podcast. I'm finding more out than I'm providing.
Well, I mean, and some people tried to sort of maybe walk the comments back a little bit or tried to add some context to them, but essentially he was saying, there's no skill involved in what he's doing. That's a real short way of saying it, but I mean, he spoke for about a minute on Bryson, but he's no fan of what Bryson's doing right now either. But what's interesting is, so Rory's been needling him a little bit, but Rory actually in the past month or so has been working on his own swing speed.
Right.
And he said that he's kicked it up a few notches. And, the thing I was concerned about today was it's typically when you see that, it's not so much that somebody's going to start getting wild, but you're going to start seeing it in their approach shots, right? Because when they add swing speed off the tee, they're not interested in adding swing speed necessarily on their 8-iron.
Right.
Or on their 9-iron. And so sometimes it can be difficult to keep the tempo that you want for an 8-iron or 9-iron when you've been working on increasing your speed.
And his iron play has been spotty.
It has been, and it continued today. I mean, he lost shots to the field.
One of the biggest problems he's had is he'll have a great tee shot and he just can't finish it.
Yeah.
He'll be like 120, and then the second shot in is like 22 feet away from the cup. You're like, dude, that's not the Rory I remember. Hopefully.
Yeah, so not an ideal day from Rory, but he's got a couple days to figure it out.
He's 8 back. It's not impossible. So
this is our first Spieth sighting in a while.
Yeah. It's funny. Brooks shot a 74 and, kind of got a little crap for it. And Spieth shoots a 74 and he's turning it around. So, again, I don't know what
people out there saying he is turning around, huh?
Yeah. I don't know what karma Jordan
Spieth. Get another triple today. I don't know. Nothing is changing.
It's not just to everyone, it's not a good score. And not only that, he's worse on weekends. So if he's screwing up now, get ready for the. Yeah, it's just he's not very good. But it's just one of those things where it's not going to matter. I mean, he could be 200th in the world, and he's going to be a big name. It's only in golf. Seriously, is there any sport this happens in? I seriously have no idea. Even when Brett Favre was annoying at the end, he wasn't terrible. He just wasn't very good. Now he's a lot more annoying than Spieth.
Yeah, I know you haven't watched a lot of NFL recently.
By that, I'd been zero.
Yeah, I will tell you this: Tom Brady does not look Tom Brady.
Well, okay. Yeah, okay. I know enough about the NFL to know that when the Patriots say you're done, you're probably done.
Yeah.
they were like, you can go now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they keep winning, because they
But the thing with Spieth is that it's always going to sort of be out there is that you know, it, the talent level has just never been there. And it's always heresy to so many people to suggest that, because they point at so that 2-year period that he had, and they like, as if that's who he is.
Right.
I mean, I look, he's never going to be that good again. He's never going to be remotely that good again.
No.
I don't know if he's going to have a week that good.
No, he's going to be barely 125 for now, and it's just not there anymore. Just, I was surprised he played this week. I thought he should work a little more in the game, but.
Oh, I mean, if you have any ability to play during a no cut event, it's guaranteed money.
Yeah, see, that's the event I should play.
You get four rounds, you know, you get four rounds to work it out. You don't have to worry about the cut. Yeah.
See, I could be in that event, but I'd say, just let me start. I'll get up. I'll start at 6 a.m, play by myself.
Be the marker.
Shoot a 190 each day. God, 190, I'd probably kill for that. Yeah.
You mentioned Koepka.
I did.
I think Koepka deserves a bit of a pass. I mean, he's been hurt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand. What's up with Koepka? He was hurt, you idiots.
He gets a pass all week, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he's just playing. I mean,
let the guy get his sea legs under him. I will say this.
By the way, Hatton knocked him out of the top 10 in the official world golf rankings.
Wow, really?
Yep, that's who he knocked out.
Well, because, I mean, if you think about it this way, right, over the last two years,
yep.
I mean, who's arguably the more successful player?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I mean, it was Koepka, easy, right?
I thought you meant overall.
Over the last 2 years, because if I recall, isn't that what most of the OWs?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was confused by your question.
Right.
You have to make it more clear. You don't know what a podcast well. You didn't leave me out to lurch. You're asking me questions I don't know. Boy, I can't wait till next podcast.
Ask questions about 12-15.
Yeah. Yeah, I pretty much can analyze any presidential race through history. So,
you act like that's a podcast that I would not be interested in doing.
That'll be the next one. Presidential. Do each election. The first one's pretty boring, though. The first two are boring.
So loyal listeners, we'll let you in behind the scenes a little bit. I think one thing we've been playing around with, given that we are now, 3 weeks? Less than 3 weeks-ish. Yep. 3 weeks-ish. Away from a fairly momentous election. And we've been playing around with the idea of doing essentially either an election-themed segment or potentially even election-themed entire episode. Because I think there's a bunch of ways we could go with this, right?
We could.
We could go with the political activities of players over time. What I really wanted to do is recklessly speculate on the political leanings of everybody on tour.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to do that.
But I wasn't sure if that was really a good idea.
Yeah. That would take me about 2 minutes to do. I would take the list of players, write one word at the top, and put a line down.
If you compare players' careers to different political careers,
that would work.
There's so many fun things we could do with it.
Okay, that would work.
Yeah.
That would work. But yeah. Guessing a golfer's political affiliation that's not brain surgery.
For most of them, I would agree. Yes.
By most, you mean 98%.
I mean, I'm presuming you're saying they're all Green Party.
Correct. They are all our Green Party.
All Greens, right?
Exactly. All
Jorgensen voters, I believe, right?
The American Socialist Party.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
The They're all Eugene Debs. Boy, if anyone gets that reference, email. That's a great. That was a great reference.
I got your reference.
That was a great. That was a great reference.
I've read People's History of the United States. I know what's
going on. Exactly.
I had a Howard Zinn moment too.
Exactly. You cretins.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I don't know how many. I think maybe Rory might be slightly liberal, but I don't know that there's a lot of Ricky there's might
or Ricky might not
that in him, but so anyway.
Okay, so we're going to Shriners.
Sure.
Oh,
by the way,
before
we leave this,
we're 40 minutes in of the CJ Cup. That's crazy.
Well, it's a great event.
It is.
Who wins? By the way, I believe isn't the defending champion Koepka actually?
Yes.
Oddly enough,
it is Koepka. So, I'm picking Oosthuizen.
Oosthuizen.
Yep. It's five back, but it's not much.
I mean, you know what? I know I said Rom, but that feels like, well.
Go ahead. I don't care.
Sure, why not? Yeah.
Yeah, John Rahm. Yeah. No, because it's not like a pick. Like, even if Hatton's good, well, if you'd have picked Hatton, I'd have been okay because he won last week. But I mean, it's like if you were like if last week you'd have been like, after the first day, like Martin Laird, then I'd have been like, that's a bunch of crap.
Although it's funny, and this is a great segue. Looking back at it, you know, if I'm a course history guy, Martin Laird should have been one of those guys that jumps off the page.
Right. Do you know what he was ranked before that event?
I do, because I prepared this week.
Yes, 351. Notice what he said, everyone. I prepared this week. Because that's a binary proposition. I have got to play, when we do our best of podcast, you winging it on that Ryder Cup. So you're doing such a third? That was the
question
the crappiest. I mean, that was garbage. I mean, when you had Charles Howell the third at the end. I mean, that was like you're going down the golf rankings of just the first American. It was so terrible. It was great podcast. It's like when I forgot the statistic I was supposed to bring up for one of the golfers, he approached a green or something. And I kept speaking around it. Hey, listen, you put out hours of content, you look like an idiot once in a while.
We can't all be Tony Rizzo.
No. What a genius. God, what an idiot. He went from 351 to 88.
That's a massive jump. But also, I mean, think of it this way. I mean, you win an event on tour and you're still 88th in the world.
It was funny. Like, I didn't realize how long it was before he was like a kind of a decent golfer in terms of the world stage. It was like 2013.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, because I was like, I think he was pretty good 4 years ago. He was not at all good 4 years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
He wasn't good at all. He was terrible.
Right. I mean, 2013 was really the last time that, and this isn't a knock on him, but it was really the last time he was relevant.
Yeah. He's got gray hair now.
Wow. Hey, did you know, by the way, for a while he had the distinction of being the only Scottish player on tour, which is amazing.
I did not know that. That's
which
right.
Which is amazing.
Colin,
yeah. When you
Colin
think
never about, was on the tour. That's right.
When you think about the fact that, you know, they kind of invented the game.
They did.
You know, now you got Russell Knox out there. I think there are actually a couple other guys who are out there now. But he had the distinction of really being the only Scot who's playing on the American tour. But I mean, sneaky great history. He's got what, four tour wins in his career?
Yeah, he's not a bad player.
And two of them are here, and he almost had a third. He lost in a playoff on third. I mean, that's an incredible career at one specific course.
It is weird. Yeah, it was a weird. It was a kind of a fun tournament. It wasn't. It wasn't too bad. Like a little playoff at the end. You gotta love having Matthew Wolf in there. And then another guy out of nowhere, Austin Cook.
Yeah. Jeez. He needed that.
Oh my God. This is.
It's he so needed funny. That. His 2020 was not good.
How golf was that? That, you know, every other sport, Matthew Wolf wins that thing. But golf, you never know.
No, it's totally true. I mean, it's. Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good analogy for another sport. But I mean, it's like sudden death in basketball. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the first team to actually just score a basket wins. And so it could create some ridiculously funky outcomes. But, you know, I mean, whenever you get multiple guys in a playoff, it's, you know, it's really anybody's guess. When people try to predict how a playoff's going to go, they don't actually know what's going to happen.
On a side note, my wife was so mad tonight about the Dodgers. She says the playoffs are stupid. We finish with the best record every year and we never win. And then I was trying to cheer up logically, but I think I should have just put my head on her shoulder or something, because I was like, well, that's what works, because it, unfortunately, the regular season is a better way to decide a team, but then the playoffs are exciting and it's what it's expected, and it doesn't reward the best team. And she's like, then why do they have it? I'm like, I don't know. You know? So I was like, and then I said the Premier League doesn't have the playoffs. And then she
I knew you were gonna go to the Premier League. Yeah. Well, that's really they would have been champions in the Premier League several years now.
Exactly.
I actually have an extraordinarily hot take when it comes to sports in general.
Let's hear it.
That tournaments and playoffs are actually the worst possible way of determining a champion.
Yeah, mathematically, it's true.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not even close.
Yeah.
In baseball, it's almost nonsensical.
Right, right.
Because of the margin of error between the teams. It's almost doesn't make sense.
And it's funny because, I mean, the best... well, let me say this. Let me pull back on that for a second. But one of the most beloved tournaments is obviously the NCAA basketball tournament, right?
Right.
And, you know, but it is an incredibly awful way to pick that champion.
It's the worst. Mathematically, it's a disaster, but it's
fun. I mean, we've had so many champions that looking back, you're like, wait. Like, there's at least four times UConn has won that you're like, wait,
yes,
why?
Seriously.
UConn won?
Yeah, the Kevin Ollie coach team, that team was not very good. There wasn't any good.
Ollie has as much national has as many national champions as, like, you know, like incredible, like Jim Boeheim. Wow. You know, like it's insane.
Well, like Kevin Ollie's coaching career, that hit the crapper. Jeez.
Yeah, that was an ugly.
Isn't that always the way? It was like as soon as they got to start recruiting.
Yeah.
It's always like there's always those coaches that, like, once they got to start recruiting. I thought Wolf would win. He shot the 61 on Saturday. Can I say a couple things about Summerlin?
Sure.
I think it's one, but then I can get Rip Bryson. I actually thought for a course that plays low scores that there was some punishing bad shots, because Bryson's basically got upended by two bad shots where he had penalties on 2 and 6. He had double bogeys on 2 and 6 on Saturday, and that pretty much killed his momentum. And then he had, God forbid, which you don't see enough on the PGA Tour, an out-of-bounds tee shot.
You really don't see it.
Which drives me nuts. Like, we just at the U.S. Open, we're like, oh, we're so tough. No one hits it out of bounds.
You want to be tough? Yeah. Put up a chain link fence with an out-of-bounds marker. That's tough, right? Like,
am I crazy? Isn't that smart? Like,
it's way more punishing. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, this course made me hate the U.S. Open more, because I'm like, Summerlin's a freaking mini golf, but no, it's actually not a little bad course. And then on two, he hit it in the rough, and he actually had to pitch into the fairway. He couldn't do his usual, like, Popeye steroid. Oh, did I say that? Thing where he hits it out of like this supposed rough, which isn't really much more than the fairway. So that was refreshing. He doubled that.
Let's talk Bryson for a little bit.
Yeah, let's, because I hate him.
You know, he had some comments, I think, earlier this week that he's planning on adding another 10 pounds before the Masters.
Okay.
And I think I've been a little bit more open to what he's doing maybe than you have, but I will say that it does feel like there's a law of diminishing returns coming in at some point, right? It feels like it's you're going to be chasing something you're never going to get.
Don't you think there's a psychological element here that he's filling in that nowadays, it's more than golf?
Nowadays, all those ridiculous like Instagram bros and and the Barstool guys among us were like, yeah, well, you know what? That's what makes him great. He never accepts, you know, second best. He's always trying to improve. Like as if everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Always say the JJ Watt workout. Like, have you seen other NFL players? They all work out like that.
The Twitter account like is always like, oh my god, have you seen this workout? Like it's right. Like and it's just a guy like jumping a box and
right.
And you're like, wait, is that supposed to impress me? They all do it. And to be frank, I'm more proud of the guys who weren't posting it to Facebook and
there's a macho insecurity in this country, which is right. Running rampant.
There's a couple things that are going to hold Bryson back because there are holes in that game still. And it seems like he's made a calculated decision to say, I'm not going to try to improve those.
Right.
I'm just going to try to continue to make my strength just overwhelmingly strong.
Right.
He's not a great iron player. He doesn't really have a lot of touch around the greens. His wedge game is really subpar for a tour player. There are holes in that game. I mean, when he's hitting it long and straight, I mean, sure, he's got an excellent chance to win. Right. He's not, it's not going to be like that every week.
I don't think it's going to be a thing that's going to last for
me. I mean, you saw good and bad, Bryson. I mean, how many eagles did that guy have this week? Yeah. It was insane.
Right.
And that's good Bryson. Bad Bryson is the reason why he didn't win the event.
Yeah. No, he just...
He should have. He should have won this event, probably.
Oh, right? Yeah. This was not a tough... Yeah, this was... This is there for the taking.
Especially with all those eagles he was having. He should have probably won this event.
Exactly. But he did. Yeah, especially with Wolf. I thought I was going to run away with it, and he didn't.
Like 12 on Saturday or something like that.
Yeah. You know something interesting is the weirdest thing, the guys who didn't make the cut, it was like every PGA championship contender. Here's who didn't make the cut. Scheffler, Morikawa, Casey and Champ all didn't make the cut.
It's insane.
That's four of the great seven in the best tournament I've seen. And just looking at that, I was going, I want to see that tournament again.
Okay. I mean, like you could shoot 68, 68 and miss the cut. You know what I mean? This week. I mean, this was one of those, the tour has always had events like this.
Yeah.
The Bob Hope was like this. there were events that 20 and 30 under, was going to win. Right. So,
right.
This isn't so guys who point at those numbers and say, oh, the ball is going too long. Well, that tour's always had, one or two events that have been like this, but
yeah, no problem with the event. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. They don't all have to be minus two.
Right.
It's okay to have an event where somebody shoots minus 25. I mean, the Korn Ferry Tour every week, somebody has to shoot minus 20.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I mean, anything else from the event you want to discuss at all before we leave?
I still think Abraham Answer is one of the most underrated players in the world. He had a good week.
You have hugged Abraham Ancer a lot more than I have.
Is he 21st in the world or not? Is that good? I don't remember.
Bring in numbers, facts. Nope. I reject your facts.
Peter Malnati's bringing it.
He's had a good few weeks, if I recall, actually.
He's had a
and
couple.
And Malnati took over the MLB contract. So I think Malnati's the because I think for a while it was Malnati and Billy Andrade were the guys who were who had the MLB logo.
Oh, really?
I didn't. Yeah. Because it was funny. Way back when it was Payne who had the NFL contract, right?
Well, that's good.
And then after Payne passed, the NFL signed a contract with the noted Browns fan, Ben Curtis.
Ooh.
And so Curtis was the guy who week by week was,
I remember that. I remember Curtis. Yeah. He'd wear different shirts. Yeah.
Right. But Major League Baseball has chosen that they just want a generic, it's like the internet meme of Rob Lowe wearing the NFL hat.
Right.
Yeah. They just preferred, hey, I support Major League Baseball, period.
That's fine. Well, I support
which Major sounds League like Baseball. It, but it's such a Manfred thing to do. I mean,
he's a moron. Yeah, that's on my Manfred is an idiot podcast.
Hey, by the way, let's check in on how are you feeling with how the tour is doing on COVID? Because, you know, Dustin Johnson tested positive this week.
Right.
Which I'll be surprised. I'm really surprised it took this long.
Yeah, that's for sure.
To be frank with you. But, you know, I mean, we haven't had a ton of them. Tony Finau's been out for a couple weeks.
Well, yeah, he's from Utah, which is surging.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried. I feel like they've done good stuff on the course in some ways, especially at the beginning. But here are the two things I'm worried about. The whole country's gotten complacent, and I think the golfers seem to be getting more complacent. You've seen a lot of more Instagram and stuff like that. So I think that's a problem, and cases have gone up exponentially the last few weeks. And the other thing, which we talked about, is, you know, you've got a section at the U.S. Open with these guys all together, no masks, no social distancing. That's inexcusable.
Yeah.
That's completely inexcusable, you know? I mean, if you think I'm wrong, great. I want to be wrong. I'm a little worried. I don't think it's going to be a disaster. But I think they're now on borrowed time. And I think DJ getting it, one of your names, it's got to wake you up. But nothing wakes up America right now on this. So it doesn't matter.
The president getting COVID didn't wake up America.
No, nobody cares.
I will say this. This is and then you had probably the closest to that. Because if you think about maybe four or five people that if they got COVID,
mm-hmm.
The country might do something. Right. Believe it or not, in that five people, I would have actually put Nick Saban.
Absolutely.
And him getting COVID too hasn't moved the needle. I will say I do think it might have to be like a Pat Mahomes, right? It's going to have to be somebody like that. Getting it and then unfortunately it would have to be somebody who I think would get actually genuinely sick. We say that, but you know, we lost a presidential candidate from 4 years ago. I'm stunned that nobody brings this up anymore.
No, it's unbelievable.
Because you can't, because it's considered political if you bring it up. But we lost Herman Cain to COVID, directly relatable to something that could have been prevented, right?
Yeah. There's a There's a dead guy on a ballot in South Dakota because they have so many COVID deaths. There's a dead guy. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So whatever. I mean, you know, if I'm assuming people listening to this, I'm not preaching the choir, you know, I'm assuming that the people listening have enough self-esteem to put a freaking mask on. I do 6 mile jogs with a mask on. So, you can walk to the grocery store with one. There you go.
No, I mean, I'm really stunned because, I mean, it's just as basic as limit your social interaction, wear a mask, and wash your hands and stuff. And literally, if we can't all agree on that,
right?
That's considered an unjust intrusion, right, on our civil liberties. And
there's nothing worse than washing your hands. You know, one time when I was in an Oregon rest area in this pretty interesting area, I go in and I'm taking my pay or whatever. And the guy next to me is doing his business. And then I'm washing my hands afterwards. And then he goes and he just doesn't wash his hands. He like angrily goes away. And I'm like, this is how you rebel? You're going to piss on your hands? This is your way to own the libs. But it was like, it was that I was washing my hands. That was the problem. I was laughing all the way to the car. Like, it was one of those things where you're like, people looking at you like, he's by himself and he's laughing. What is going on? It was funny. Because that's rebellion nowadays.
I'm actually kind of surprised that, I'm surprised that Augusta is not planning on trying to have at least limited patrons.
I'm happy. Yeah, I'm hoping that actually it's one of my questions. How many idiots without masks will we see on the course? And how many of these idiots without masks will be high risk for coronavirus?
So are we talking about what, the Masters?
Yeah, just because, you know, like, I'm saying that because U.S. Open, we saw those idiots.
Yeah, I will say my guess is that you're not going to see many, if only because I don't think the USGA has a lot of control over what happens around. And
that's a good point.
It's not powerless. I just don't think they care. You know, I think they actually liked those visuals. Yeah. You know, personally, I mean, I think they were okay with that. That's why they didn't put a stop to it. Right. You know, Augusta, you know, they've got like snipers everywhere. You know, that, right, if you're anywhere close to the course, right? So, I, you know, if they're not going to let patrons in, I don't know that there's going to be sort of a lot. Well, let me ask you this. I jump off from that question.
Okay.
Will the lack of patrons at the Masters essentially ruin your viewing experience?
Well, I'm going to ask you that question. So,
okay. So I've always thought that there's only one tournament which having the patrons actually matters, and it's the Masters, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the back nine of the Masters. The other events, you know, they always go to different places and, you know, it's slightly different, but, you know, we all know, you know, Waking Up the Echoes through Amen Corner and, you know, that really cool, you know, when somebody's trying to hit the green on 15 while somebody is, you know, hitting their tee shot on 16 and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I will say, I do think something's going to be missing.
You know, it's funny. I see what you're saying, but I almost feel like the familiarity is going to make it easier for me because it'll be like, I'm at the Masters and I don't have to think about it because I know the course. It's like when I was watching the Women's British Open.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's a British Open. Like, you don't, you just, it looks like a British Open. You're at a British Open. Like, it was just, there's nothing in my brain telling me anything else.
It's going to feel like a warm hug.
Yeah. I actually feel, again, like I'm so excited not to have these idiot fans yelling stuff after the tee shots. It's been great. I'm probably going to be grumpy when the fans come
back. I agree with you, actually. For 99% of the events, I'm actually happy the patrons aren't there.
Yeah, seriously.
Listen to me. I've already dropped into the master's parlance about the patrons in the gallery.
That's fun.
Yeah.
No, seriously. No, stay away. Seriously. Don't ever.
I mean, I almost feel like if we could have no gallery anywhere else except just the masters, I'd be happy. Yeah. But I mean, I think it will take a little bit away from the viewing experience, but I will say this, if we have a good event, you know, something similar to last year. It doesn't have to be Tiger winning, but something similar to last year where you had so many guys that had a shot at winning that event.
Yeah, I think I got a good feeling. I think you got it. I think
or the PGA. God, if you had something similar to what happened at the PGA, man.
Will you ever have something similar to that in our life?
No, I mean, that's fair. I mean, you had seven guys who were tied for the lead on the back nine on Sunday. I mean, that's insane.
I hope that goes down in history as one of the great tournaments. I really do. I'm worried because it's the PGA Championship.
I feel like it's going to be underappreciated.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried too. Unless Morikawa becomes like a 10 major winner, which isn't out of the question, then that gives a little more cachet.
But I feel like it's going to be one of those. I feel like it's going to be like the Rich Beam. No, not the Rich Beam. The Bob May, Tiger Woods. At Valhalla, I feel like it's going to be, if you go back and watch it, you're going to be like, wow, right. This was great.
Yeah, that was a great tournament.
One more.
Yeah, that was a great tournament.
You know, or I will say this, another one at Valhalla was the one that Rory won, where Phil and Ricky were in the group ahead of them, and they were rushing to try to finish before.
Oh, I remember that. I watched that in Ohio at my parents' house. Yeah. Phil was in a bad mood after that one. Phil was in a bad.
And where Ricky's hitting up while Phil
is. That was pretty great. Throwing. Yeah, that was pretty great.
It was a great event. But see, these are events that are just sort of get forgotten. You know, we don't speak with them in the same reverence that we do any of the last five Masters. I mean, you know, we could rattle off each of what happened in each of the last five Masters. I bet you and I could do it.
No, we could.
Yeah.
But the last five
U.S. Opens.
Yeah. The last two PGAs have been unreal, though. I mean, good Lord. Okay, so I have a couple more questions and we'll wrap it up.
These are Masters-centric, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Who needs a win more than anyone, and why is it Rory McIlroy?
I mean, I can't argue that. I mean, it's Rory, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I don't know. Let's think about this for a second. You know, Rory's still young. You know, this won't be his last chance to win a Masters.
True.
However, it would greatly behoove him to win one fairly soon because he's always going to have this hanging over him, right?
Yeah, I think at some point, you only get four shots a year. I mean, there'll be some point where he won't be a perennial contender. So I don't know.
I'm going to go off the board. Okay.
Okay.
Kuchar.
Exactly.
Kuchar needs to win this one. Okay. Kuchar's the guy who he's looking at this one. He's like, if I don't win this one,
that's true. That's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Here's one, because I have an answer to this and I'm not sure it's a surprise. What's your big surprise this year? And if I say that I might pick Bubba this year, would that be a surprise? I know he's won twice, but he has been up and down. I don't know if I'm going to pick him yet, but I'm thinking about it.
I personally believe that picking Bubba at the Masters is never a bad pick.
Yeah.
And, you know, his career has been a lot of up and down everywhere else, except for those like four places like Riviera and River Highlands and, you know, and Augusta, where, you know, if he knows a course, if he feels confident on a course, I mean, he can torch the place. Not a bad one at all. I do believe, by the way, I might be putting too much stock into this, but I watched some of that charity match that he did yesterday with Ricky and Kevin Na and Ben On, which, by the way, I truly believe they picked Kevin Na and Ben On the same team so that they could have NA and AN as the two guys.
That's pretty good. I
absolutely believe this.
That's fine with me.
Bubba seemed completely at ease.
That's funny you mention that, because one of the things I've noticed is that we're very hard on annoying golfers.
Yeah.
When's the last time we brought up Bubba?
We haven't. We haven't brought him up a lot.
Yeah. I mean, he seems to have chilled out, you know?
He has. Yeah.
He just seems to have chilled out. I think his swing at times looks fantastic, but yeah, I don't hate Bubba anymore. I used to not like him, but I mean, the guy, he bought the General Lee, but then he painted over the Confederate flag. And this is before all the Charlottesville stuff. So he at least wasn't tone deaf there. You know what I mean? It's like, so I don't know, but do you have like a surprise pick? I'm sorry. Put you on the spot.
The whole idea, right?
The whole idea is to make you look like an idiot. You've done that all podcast with me. By the way, my mom's gonna be happy because she thought I was too mean to you last podcast.
I tell her thank you.
She just completely takes your side. It's pathetic. But there you go.
What if we went with a guy like what if we went with a guy like Haddon?
That's a good one. I'll take that.
He was moving on, because I was going to say Shoffley, but that's not a surprise pick.
Yeah, right? I'm not going to let you. I'm not giving you that one.
Yeah, that's not a surprise pick. Yeah,
I think
Kevin Na maybe.
Ooh, interesting. Although he's been a little lately. Although he will have that rant, he's talented and he'll have a couple.
He played okay this week, by the way. He always plays well here because he's at home. You know, he makes that place his home now.
I'd love it if Kevin Na won. Are you kidding?
I won a Masters. How great would that be?
That would be cool.
I'm
gonna be honest. This is, our podcast listeners are going to be shocked, but if you're shocked, you have been listening. I'd be excited if Ricky won it. I'd be really excited for Ricky.
I know you like Ricky.
I know, and that's the thing. To the emailers, it's just, you don't like Bryson. That's correct. You don't like Phil. Darn right. You don't like Ricky. Completely wrong.
Yeah.
Completely. I like Ricky a lot. I'd love him to win a major. I'd love it. That'd be great.
Just give me hell. That's all.
Yeah, I'm just a jackass, but he deserves to win a major. I'd love to see him win a major.
You know, right now he's a long way away.
He has no chance in hell of doing it.
This year was not great for him. I mean, he's been fighting his swing, and now he's fighting his putter.
Well, he's got a new putter now.
Yeah, he's got that Justin Thomas putter now that he's doing.
That's not a bad guy to emulate, though, if he can putt like him.
Right, but, you know, here's Ricky. I mean, Ricky's always been such a really consistent putter.
I know.
You know, when he starts changing putters,
that's not good.
Yeah.
It's like Kevin Costner and Tim Kupp with wearing that big machine at that point.
So what's interesting, if you look at his round today, his round sort of seemed to follow the same rhythm that a lot of other rounds are. There are times where you're like, hey, he's hanging in there. It looks good. It looks like he's about to maybe. And then he'll bogey five in a row.
Yes. He's not playing well. I just don't understand it. And it's like he's hit a new level of crap lately. Well, I hope he finds it.
I would still pick him over Spieth anyway.
He's 100 times better.
Yeah.
I mean, he's actually had some good tournaments this year. It's not like he sucked. You know, he actually had a pretty good run for a few weeks. So
should have won at Memphis.
Yeah, no, he's it's no comparison. Well, there you go. Well, that was That was another great podcast. I liked about it was chill, a little less tense than our normal, you know.
Yeah, we were not nearly as combative.
But you know what I'm going to get now? I'm going to get the, you go, what is this, love fest? You know what I mean? Are they going to be like, what is it? Are just you guys agreeing for an hour? Like, you know.
We're going to get a lot of political emails.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. What? Oh, no, we've already started getting them. Yeah, well, that's the way it goes. Here's the thing, though. If you want me to read your email or reference it, you have to have over a second level grade of grammar, okay?
That's going to be hard for some people.
Yeah.
They got to know the your rule.
Yeah, your zone. Yeah, that's a disqualification.
That basic capitalization.
ITS versus IT apostrophe S. IT apostrophe S is a contraction for it is, okay?
Basic comma rules would help.
Wouldn't help. Yeah, if you put it in between two sentences, a comma, that's a comma splice. Yeah, so... But for all you great fans out there, you want me, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. We're back in on TuneIn. TuneIn's back. Podcast Addict, Podchaser. New one. We got Listen Notes, a new one. Player FM, we're on that. And don't forget... Deezer.
And don't forget our new sponsor.
Oh, wait a second.
Actually, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, guys, let me tell you something. Little story about a restaurant. One time we went to this restaurant. It was a chain restaurant, and it was Christmas Eve. And it's a tradition we go to this restaurant with my family. And I was taking my mother-in-law, who can be a little snobby at times. But we're paying, so whatever. And so she wasn't sure about this restaurant. It's a chain and whatever. And let me tell you, by the end, she was loving it. Absolutely chowing down the food, getting the dessert, loving the wine, was digging it. Sir, I am talking about BJ's restaurants. There's locations everywhere. My wife loves the ribs. Loves the ribs. I got her ribs once, and she bragged to all her teacher friends that I got her ribs from BJ's, okay? Bragged to all her teacher friends. And you know what? You know, you guys missed it today, but don't forget, every Thursday, Slow Roasted Thursday. Okay? So, get some slow roasted ribs. Tell them the Stinger sent you. And they'll go, okay, cool.
Yeah, see if that works. And let us know. Email us.
We don't have a discount set up with yet. We just have to relentlessly pitch their products and see what happens. Tell them what the Golf's number one podcast is, and get their deep dish pizza. I gotta tell you one more thing. Their pizzas are good, and their beer brands.
Lighthouse. The beer is the other thing there, right?
Yeah, it's
the
Lighthouse yeah. Lager.
Yeah.
But all the dark beers, red beer, they're all good there. So head out there.
We have an Albuquerque location.
I'll tell you what, we got to do a podcast in one of those.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm actually sort of surprised they haven't asked us to do one yet.
In South Dakota, we could do it in a second. Could do it tomorrow.
Absolutely. Maskless.
Yeah, exactly. We're the most open state in the union. And that's a good thing. Okay. Yeah, all righty. That's right. All right. There you go. So for the Stinger, I'm Chuck Stevenson.
And I'm Mark Posse. I'll see you guys.
I'll see you. The Stinger!